Now with Ash Wednesday, this past Wednesday, we entered the season of Lent in the church. And Lent is a time when Christians have an opportunity to focus on some of the things that we don't always focus on so much. Why we are here. And it is a time that we engage in some specific practices like almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. Now, almsgiving can consist of a few different things. It might be giving to the poor. It might be giving of yourself, of your time, of your talents. Lenten practices can be as wide and varied as the people who practice them. But ultimately, we find them as doing something different from the ordinary time the rest of the year. And so I know sometimes we do practice almsgiving the rest of the time. This is a particular focused practice that we have during these 40 days. And we celebrate 40 days of it, starting on Ash Wednesday through Holy Saturday, which is the day before Easter. And the days are not exact, because they come out to a total of 46 days, right? Because on the Lord's Day, or Sunday, are special times that are excluded from the total days. So if you're fasting during the week, you don't exactly have to do all that on Sunday, because every Sunday is the day of Christ's resurrection. But Jesus didn't get a break when he was out there in the wilderness for 40 days. He was out there 40 days straight. His time began as soon as he was baptized, and the Spirit, as Mark says, and I love Mark's word, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Luke has him, the Spirit fills him and leads him into the wilderness. It's a little bit more nuanced language, a little bit softer, but the Spirit fills Jesus up and leads him into the wilderness to encounter some tests from the devil. Now, it's not entirely clear, according to Luke, whether there's more than these three tests that we read about. Because here we read, for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And at the end, Jesus was famished. And then the big three tests come. Those that have become very familiar to us, that our children's sermon was about. Of making stones into bread. The promise of power and glory if Jesus only worships the devil. And then the freedom to hurl himself from a temple without consequence. Because we all know that the angels would come and save Jesus from certain death. And the devil, in offering these tests to Jesus, is actually, there's verses from scriptures that the devil has brought out of context. And as some sort of prosperity gospel. And Jesus, despite being famished, exposed, and deprived, handily retorts the devil's promises, presenting the truth as God sees it. There is no narrow escape from the tempter's questions here, but Jesus does find his answer in the self-same scripture that the devil used. But Luke, in his depiction of Christ, is very careful that we know exactly who Christ is. Because as we reread the account of Jesus' time in the wilderness, we're also reminded that Jesus is not just this aspect of God walking around on the earth, giving all the appearance of being a human being. No, Jesus is not that at all. That Jesus has actively become fully human and is subject to the same limitations that humans are subject to. When Luke tells us that Jesus is famished, we see a man, not an exact God who is all and needs no nourishment, not a deity who cannot be tempted and tested by the likes of this accuser named the devil. Jesus was born knowing us and being us and experiencing us in a way that he hears and feels and understands exactly the kind of people that you and I are. He knows hunger. He knows pain. He knows loss, and he knows loneliness. And the temptations of the devil are not just mere annoyances. They're not the bites of a flea. But they're serious answers to the severe deprivation that we know Jesus must be experiencing out there in the wilderness. Now, I can't imagine resisting those kind of temptations. I have taken my annual Lenten practices with a cue from our Islamic brothers and sisters. What they do for Ramadan, I'm kind of adopting to do for myself. I don't eat anything during the daylight hours. And I tell you, the grumbling that I feel in my stomach by the time it gets to be early afternoon is almost more than I can bear. Would I call myself famished? I think at times, God, I can eat a horse. But you bet. But it is nothing like the famishment that our Lord Jesus Christ must be experiencing in the desert after 40 days. And so saying that I am resisting temptation by not eating, I'm resisting a temptation to snack, cheat just a little bit, well, that's really nothing. And my decision to not eat also comes from a place of privilege, because I can afford not to eat for a few hours. I have a few pounds of fat stored up somewhere up around here. To see me through, even if my stomach has emptied out and it's grumbling a little bit, and I'm not in the least bit at risk of malnutrition. I don't have to worry about where my next meal is coming from, because every moment of every day I have the choice to pick up some food and eat it, and I can pick up pretty much whatever I want. I'm not going to be eating caviar every day. Choosing not to eat is a freedom that I have that millions of people in the world don't have. And so the Lenten practice of fasting and almsgiving in particular are not made for those who already live in the wilderness. But for those of us who have the ability and luxury of doing them. But everyone is subject to temptation. One of the problems that we face is that we don't actually want to be tempted. We want instant gratification. We want to be able to do these things. We want to be able to things like quit smoking or quit drinking or whatever it wants without having the desire to do it again. We want to be able to take a pill and not feel an incessant need to do those things again. We don't want to face the temptations that having give in to lead us back into places that we don't want to go. And what are the temptations that we face? Well, we might have daily temptations. For instance, do I decide to say something to the person that's standing in front of me at the express checkout line who I have counted 17 items? Does a second delicious glazed donuts that somebody brought to the meeting that I went to, is that really worth, it's one donut's not going to hurt, is it? Do I order that nice pair of tennis shoes that I saw online? I just have to have, knowing that having Amazon Prime, I can get it in just a couple days with free shipping. We give in to these little temptations constantly without even a second thought. We're put to test on a regular basis, and human beings that we are, we give in. And there's nothing wrong with that most of the time. And we are forgiven for it, because God's forgiveness is unconditional. But the greater ones, the ones that Jesus was given at the end of his 40 days, the one that the devil offers him, For instance, powers over nations. How do we even understand that? How do we relate that to our lives? I think of it as having power over other people, even in our small lives. And while we expect this temptation is about world domination, we might find ourselves in our own lives wishing to control everything and everyone about us. And when things aren't going our way, we are tempted to manipulate other people, maybe using emotional blackmail or even outright lying, because in our heads, the ends justify the means. We're doing the right thing, so maybe a little white lie isn't going to hurt. And turning stones into bread? Well, what about when you're feeling deprived of material wealth? Isn't buying a lottery ticket a kind of making something out of nothing? Because even the potential for the kinds of winnings that people earn on those things is enough to put so many people in long lines at the store where we buy them. Particularly when the winnings climb high enough. And so what about this one with Jesus leaping off of the temple and having the angel save him? This makes me think about how many of us, when caught in the throes of addiction, take one more, knowing intellectually that putting one more drink, one more shot, one more puff, one more fresh glazed donut might eventually kill us if we keep doing that over and over again. We may be tempted by our faith in God to make God's healing power into a magical salve, rescuing us from our own self-destruction. But you know, my sisters and brothers, just how can we hope to resist the temptations of emotional manipulation, instant gratification, and foolish self-harm? Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection, has unleashed a Holy Spirit on the world, ebulliently moving disciples to wondrous things on the day of Pentecost, and providing the means for us to do good and to help ourselves and to help each other in this world today. That Holy Spirit that gave Jesus the strength and life to manage 40 days of what must have been pure, tortuous deprivation is available to us in our daily lives, giving us the strength and conviction that we need to combat those things that the world would separate us from the love of God and having good health, faithful stewardship, and right relationships with one another. Things that keep us closer to our relationship with God. And so, filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus imposes himself on temptation. Jesus turns the temptation around and tells the devil, look, this isn't how it is, and this isn't how it's going to be. He resists it soundly by using the Spirit and the Word. And the Holy Spirit comes to us, made available by Jesus Christ's selfless act on the cross. And we are able to resist our own daily temptations when we ask and gain the strength we need to endure the hardships that come to us, that come along with life. And so when we're stressed out, we don't have to turn to them. As well as meet the demands of this time ahead of us, this Lenten season, whether we've chosen fasting or almsgiving or praying or some other combination thereof, or even if we've chosen just to celebrate Lent by doing the same stuff we're doing before. And remember that even though Jesus resisted turning the loaves of the stones into the loaves of bread, he turned 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into sufficient enough to feed 5,000 people. Even though he does not gain power by worshiping Satan and giving his own life, Jesus has become the King of Kings. And even though he does not test God by leaping from the highest point, Jesus has ascended to the highest point on the cross and rules over us from heaven. The good news, my sisters and brothers, is that no matter how we reach out toward God and a newer understanding of what God brings to the table, that through the unconditional love granted to us on the day of our creation, the grace earned for us through the incredible sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the sanctification provided to us by the Holy Spirit that fills us and guides us and gives us the strength to resist temptation, God has saved us in His unconditional love and forgiveness, and has given us a home in the great kingdom. Amen.